Everyone has a story, and we all learn lessons through our experiences. In Bubble Wrap, you will hear lessons learned through our engaging interviews that are applicable to business, communications, and Christianity. Today on Bubble Wrap.
That voice was the voice of God who said, you're going to school on a scholarship. And all I did was say, okay.
This show is for all people who want to grow professionally and spiritually. I'm your host, Kristen Getzey. Today, we will be hearing from a very dear friend of mine and a fellow entrepreneur about her social entrepreneur and social cause initiative to alleviate poverty. Nicole's mission is her life passion. And I'd like to introduce you to my friend. Her name is Nicole Antoinette Smith. She is a systems professional with experience working directly with and presenting to C-level professionals as a management consultant, along with Big Four consulting experience. She's earned her Master's of Science in Computer Information Systems from Missouri State University and a Bachelor of Business Administration with dual majors in Management Information Systems and Marketing while playing on the women's basketball team of Ohio University. Nicole is known as a catalyst for change and is recognized as a perceptive leader with the ability to lead diverse teams of professionals. Nicole's also launched Nicole Antoinette Consulting. She did that in 2016 after working 25 years in corporate America, and she does own Faith Books and More Publishing, which is a subsidiary of Nicole Antoinette Consulting. And to date, Nicole's published 8 of her own books with over 20 books in various forms of the writing and publishing process. Her pedigree goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But we'll slow it up there. So I'd like to say, Nicole, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for your time today, because I know you are a very, very busy lady, but I do know that your heart and your passion comes from a well of experience. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to dive into all of that and the details surrounding that, but I have this really fun thing that we call the lightning round. It's kind of like a get to know you.
Okay.
So if you can, I'm just going to ask you a series of questions and you can give me the answers. So your marital status?
I'm single.
Worst job ever?
Oh boy, worst job. I worked for making smoothies for one day. They didn't have me back after that when I was a teenager.
One day. Best job ever?
Best job? I would say what I'm doing right now, teaching.
And what is your favorite movie?
Favorite, Forrest Gump.
Favorite actor?
I would say Denzel Washington.
Favorite musical artist?
Right now it's Tasha Cobbs.
Best concert you've ever attended?
Prince.
Hobbies?
Writing.
Oh, you like eating too. I'm going to throw that one.
Oh, yes. Definitely eating. I'm a foodie. Baking, I guess, too. Yes.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Favorite time of the year?
The winter.
Best gift ever?
The best gift is on December 25th, 1988, when my sister turned, when the pastor at a church said, are you saved? And I said, no. And he said, if someone said no, tell them to come up here. And I just broke. And she forced me through with the paying attention to, listening to the, in obedience with the pastor. And I went up there. So the best gift is my Christianity.
I'm in awe of that answer. That's amazing. Worst gift ever?
This is going to sound terrible, but my son and his father decided to buy me a purse. And for whatever reason, I wanted a red purse. But this particular red was not, it was a Lady of Night type red purse.
So what's your favorite color?
Black, unfortunately, is not a color per se, but it's black. I wear all black all the time.
Who gives you the best advice?
I would say my sister.
And when is your birthday?
December 21st.
Excellent. Here's some extra questions I just want to know. It's still getting to know you. A little known fact about you that people might be shocked to know?
That I'm an introvert. They think I'm an extrovert, but I'm not.
I do find that funny, because you and I met at a networking conference in New Orleans quite a few years ago now.
And you reached out to me. You saw my business card. You saw that I had a scripture on the back of my business card, and you just
dive right in. That is me, but I'm really an introvert.
That's so interesting. Favorite quote or scripture and how you've used it or applied it?
Oh, my favorite one. My life verse is actually Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go, and I will counsel you and watch over you. My favorite. That is my life verse.
So that's just a go-to on an everyday basis.
Yeah. Yes. And I actually, was reading in Psalm 32 today and just highlighted it all over again.
Who motivates you, and what does that motivation look like?
Oh, to be honest, I think it might change, but one can say they're self-motivated, but what stems from that self-motivation, there's still something core in you. And I think that my motivation is injustice. And I don't like injustice in the justice that around my social cause is what really motivates me. And then my deceased grandmother, between those two.
Was your grandmother also one of your mentors?
It was uncommon growing up to see people read the newspaper cover to cover in my world. But that was my grandmother, cover to cover. And I just remember sitting by her while she's on the bed, reading the newspaper cover to cover. And I didn't realize how, because she had raised 10 children and had tons of grandchildren, I didn't realize how intellectual my grandmother was at the time. And when I think back and I think about, who am I? And I can see a lot of me, my grandmother in me. So I would say, because she wasn't a traditional mentor, I would say that she was. And then the heart that she had and how she would feed everybody and welcome everybody. And when I think about when someone comes to my home, I want them to feel totally at peace. I want them to feel welcome. I want them to feel loved. I want them to walk away just like, man, with a great experience. And that was my grandmother. She, with all the children and grandchildren, I kid you not, if you ask any one of my cousins, we all would say we were our grandmother's favorite. How is it that one person can make you feel like you're the only person in the world and you matter and you're my favorite? And I can see some of that. I can see her in me.
Well, on a personal note, I can say that you have hosted me at your home and you are totally channeling your grandmother because you are the hostess with the mostest. I felt very welcomed in your home.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And then I have to say that your grandmother and my granny were the exact same. My granny was not very well educated. I think she had like a sixth grade education, maybe seven. But she read the newspaper from cover to cover also.
Yeah.
I think it might've been part of the Depression era of the need to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So who does mentor you, and is it formal or informal? What does it look like?
So I don't have a formal mentor. I will say that. But what I find is that I have some extremely bright friends. And I don't know if it's by chance or it's orchestrated, but I have surrounded myself with some extremely bright friends. And even when they may not be in my inner circle, I have people that I can go to. And there are a lot of them. I've been reaching out to people this week for a particular project I'm working on. But when I sit down or call my friends, they always have some great advice for me and pointing me to resources that I needed, and it's all timely. And so I can't say I have a former mentor. I would say that I've embraced my inner circles of friends as my mentors.
Share an embarrassing moment and how you survived it.
I have a lot of embarrassing moments. But the first one that comes to mind, I laugh at myself quite a bit. I don't know why I have this like little chuckle that I'm always laughing at myself. But I remember graduating from college and I didn't have a lot of money. And I remember the assistant basketball coach, she was an engineer at IBM. So she was very, very polished. You know, you work for IBM, you have to have this polished look. And I was an inner city girl. And she helped me purchase, well, she helped me pick out my first suit. But what she didn't do was to help me pick out the right pantyhose, because back then we wore pantyhose, and I had an interview in Chicago at the Sears Tower. It's changed names since then. And so I had gone, and I might have just bought the pant. I don't know where I bought them from, but I did not buy a pair of pantyhose that aligned with the suit that she had me purchase. Okay. I just remember going into the Sears Tower, and the pantyhose were basically around my ankles, just squished up because they didn't fit. And that was so embarrassing. So I'm going into the Sears Tower just like, oh my goodness. And I think we call it like elephant legs or something, where they start falling down on you because they were a cheap pair of pantyhose. I would think that was the most embarrassing. But luckily I did get the job. So I did overcome, right? And I guess I just, they may have felt sorry for me. I don't know. Like, she really needs the money. Let's give her a job. Buy some pantyhose. I don't know.
Share a life-changing or life-altering story. Share a moment where you may have laughed so hard your sides hurt.
Okay, this is going to sound terrible, but this is recent. My sister called me and she started telling me, because, you know, lots is going on in the country right now with the protests. Well, she called me and she said that they let the zoo animals out in Chicago. And we just kept thinking, like, do you mean to tell me lions and tigers and bears are running around? And for whatever reason, I could not stop laughing, thinking about these protesters have gone to the zoo and let the animals out. And I don't know if it was just, and it's not funny, don't get me wrong, but just the thought, I was like, okay, so we got murder hornets, we got COVID, we got protesters. All right, just let the zoo animals out. And when I say I could not stop laughing, and I just told her, thank you for just, and it's not a true story, but the whole point is, it was just hilarious, just the visions of lions, tigers, bears, all kind of animals, monkeys just running around right now. It's like, really? What else? This is 2020. What else is going on? It's 2020. Let them out. Let them out the zoos too.
Share a moment where you cried so hard you didn't know how you were going to survive.
It's a huge responsibility. Like, I'm, as a single mother, it's a huge responsibility to raise one child or multiple children, and being displaced a few times, laid off in my professional career. There were so many times where I just didn't know how I was going to get through it.
So how did you get through it?
Faith, that's for sure. Psalm 32:8.
Share your life-changing or life-altering story.
Growing up in the inner city of Cleveland, there were my siblings and I, we lived in a two-family house. So there were four siblings, my sister, brothers, and I lived in the bottom half of the house. And then my cousins lived upstairs. So there were eight of us, and then our neighbors. So total, we were about 10, 20, 12 of us. And we would walk to the neighborhood park every single day in the summertime, because back then they were offering free programs for in the inner city. And we took free tennis lessons, swimming lessons. We used to go skating and all of that. So this was in elementary school. So in elementary school, I pretty much were able to, it's like, oh, I'm part of a team. I'm swimming. I'm on this tennis and all of that. And we called it back then, it was called like Junior Olympics. So I get to middle school and I tested out of the school that I was supposed to go to. I tested out. And so I went to a school for honor students. So none of my family members had gone there with me. I was the only one. So I was separated for the first time from my family members. So I went to the middle school and it was time for sports tryouts. I'm like, what is a tryout? I don't understand what a tryout is. I thought you just come and you just be on the team, because that's what it was in elementary school when I was going to this, you know, public park. So I get to the middle school and there's tryouts and I get cut from the volleyball team. And then I get cut from the basketball team. And then I get cut from the track team in seventh grade. And I get in eighth grade. Then ninth grade comes around and I was sick and they thought I had leukemia. So I ended up getting hospitalized the ninth grade in December of my ninth grade year. When I came out of the hospital, I remember I lived in a two-family house. I had gone upstairs to my cousin's house. And I remember looking in their trophy case, because mind you, I was cut from all the teams. I didn't have trophies. I was remember looking at their trophy case, and it was clear as a bell in my spirit, you're going to school on a scholarship. So I was too sick to try out for the volleyball team and a basketball team that year. So I didn't try out because I tried out previous 2 years and I was, you know, cut. So I wasn't able to try out. They thought I was going to die. And I didn't. So when I ended up going to high school, and it was the whole thing again with tryouts, but the difference was the school busing occurred when I was going to, you know, right around that time. So as I was going to the 10th grade, I had to go to another side of town because of busing desegregation. I went to a side of town where it was predominantly white. Well, the schools on the white side of the city of Cleveland were much smaller. So because of that, I was able to not really try out. There weren't a lot of girls trying out. There weren't enough anyway, so I made the team. So I was like, okay, so now I'm back on the, I'm on this volleyball team. So I played volleyball, and then the same thing happened for basketball, so I was able to play basketball. But then it was track season, and I met my track coach. My track coach was Coach Tyrone Owens. If you think about it, I mean, I had a serious issue. I'm 6'1", and I was probably 110 pounds when I met him. I go to this track coach, and I said, I want to run track. And he looks at me like, okay. But he believed in himself and his athletes that he was confident enough that he can do something with me. So what he told me was, you can run track, but here's the thing. And I told him, I said, I want to play basketball and I want to go on a basketball scholarship. I didn't know what that meant. And he said, I tell you what, if you run for me for 3 years, I will get you a basketball scholarship. Wait a second. I wasn't smart enough back then. You know what I told him? I said, okay, this man said that he's going to get me a college scholarship if I run track for him, but he's going to get it for basketball. He shouldn't have promised me that, but he did. He was confident in himself and his abilities. So it was time for him to deliver. So the years go by in high school. I run for him. I still play volleyball. I play basketball and I run track. Now it's time for me to get recruited. My basketball coach wasn't putting forth the effort, so Mr. Owens was going to deliver on his promise. So what he did was he picked up the phone, because back then we didn't have an internet. So he picks up the phone, he calls the Ohio State University. And he said that I have someone who can run and jump. And there were two of us. And they said, well, we don't have any more room on our roster. So what you can do is contact Ohio University. He says, okay. He contacts Ohio University and he tells them the same thing. I have two girls who can run, who can jump. They're over 6 feet tall, and they didn't believe him. But they said, we will come see them run track. So here it is, the basketball recruiters at Ohio University comes to see us run track. He, being a coach, coaches have a way with words to get you motivated. So for 2 weeks, he trained us. He basically said, you better get out there and run your blankety blank 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 and do this and blankety blank blank blank. So when the recruiter for the Ohio University women's basketball team came to see us run track, we ran our butts off. And they said, we'll be back for basketball season. Because at that point, they knew it was like, okay, we could teach them how to play basketball, but if they can run like this, oh, these are good. And the rest is history, meaning that I was able to get recruited to play basketball at Ohio University. That was such a blessing. And I remember just being in my dorm room, just crying. Thank you, Lord. You delivered. That voice was the voice of God who said, you're going to school on a scholarship. And all I did was say, okay. And then the very next year, I meet Coach Owens. He promises me that he was going to give me a scholarship, and he delivered. He actually called them a track coach ended up getting me a basketball scholarship. So when it's a long story, but it's my story. So, and because of that, I've taken that to create other programs through it.
At what point did you realize that a sport had changed your life?
So I didn't realize it back then. I knew that it was the voice of God speaking to me to get that. And it was like, and he delivered on what he said, you're going to school on a scholarship. So for years, I did not realize that until 2018, when I was being for the high school I graduated, they wanted to induct me into the High School Hall of Fame. And at that point, I just started asking questions of Mr. Owens because he was getting inducted at the same time, Coach Owens. And I couldn't realize, I was like, how is it that, because Jesse Owens graduated from one of our schools in Cleveland. I was like, how does everybody know about Jesse Owens, but not all these other people? And then I get upset that other people weren't acknowledged and recognized like a Jesse Owens, who were very instrumental in the sports industry. So I, for whatever reason, I get upset and I said, you know what? I call him up and I said, you know what? We're going to do a documentary on the Cleveland public school system. And we're going to document the history and let everybody know about our athletes. And he said, okay, Nikki. He just said, okay, Nikki. And then 2 weeks later, I said, you know what? We're going to write a history book. This history book, we're going to document all of our athletes. And he said, okay, Nikki. But at that point, that's when I realized that sport changed my life. Because if you think about it, my total goal was to turn 18, become a secretary, rent an apartment from a dilapidated apartment complex, and buy a used car. That was it. And without that sport, I would not be a college professor right now. Without that sport, that literal sport, that opportunity and meeting that coach. But I didn't realize it until 2018. When I wanted to do the documentary and write the history book. And at that point, I was like, wait a second. There has to be other Jesse Owens out there, other Nicole Antoinettes, even though I have not gone to the Olympics. I do not have the fame as a Jesse Owens, but I'm still impacting lives. So in 2018, that's when I said I founded the Sports Legends of Cleveland. And I said, at that point, we need to find and give people another opportunity through a sport. I graduated from high school in 1988. I did not realize it until 2018 how instrumental a sport, a literal sport, changed the trajectory of my life. Because I do not, growing up in the inner city, the path that I was going on, I do not know where I would be right now had I not played a sport and graduated. I don't know.
That brings me to want to talk about, for a moment, your pedigree you have going on here. I started looking at the jobs you've held. So yeah. I'm gonna work my way backwards. You're currently an assistant professor at Ohio University, right? Mm-hmm. And what are you instructing there?
Quantitative business analytics, project management, system analysis and design, and then I'm a faculty mentor of various different programs.
You are also simultaneous to that managing and operating Nicole Antoinette Consulting, which is what?
Okay, so we're a boutique consulting company, and I have designed 7 methodologies. So these are service methodologies. So if a client needs me to do consulting services, I use my own methodologies to perform that project, to execute on that project. And some of them are around strategic planning, program development, software testing, independent verification and validation. Some of these things may not mean anything to anyone, but that those are some examples.
Now, check this out. You've also been the senior project manager, ACI Worldwide, an adjunct professor at Keller Graduate School of Management, IT director, Harlan Clark, process improvement consultant, John H. Harland, VP software quality assurance at Click Tactics, also known as Click Squared, Manager Software Quality Assurance, S1 Corporation, Process Improvement Consultant, PeopleSoft Dates Employee there, and Project Manager, Kraft Foods, Senior Consultant at Ernst Young, one of the big ones. My friend, you've worked in a lot of locations, and it's more than just a job for you because I know how you operate.
you don't just go there to get a job done, but you're improving your own personal skills consistently. Uh-huh. That has culminated into the amazing entrepreneur that you are now. But it doesn't stop there, because you're taking all of the knowledge that you've gotten in each of those locations and you're transferring it into skills and opportunities for impoverished people.
Oh, you summed that up beautifully. Because with every job, I have this thing where that if I create something, I'm going to do something with it. And the methodologies that I talked about, that was a summation of all my years of experience. But the one that I'm working on right now is called Elevate. And what I do is I help community action agencies with workforce development. And what I've designed is an end-to-end service model for training, looking at these H3 jobs where I'm trying to get people out of poverty through H3 jobs. And what that is high skill, high wage, high demand jobs. And we're trying to prepare them for the workforce. And we want with an opportunity to lead to some industry recognized credentials on top of that. And there's a whole criteria that I put together on the types of occupations we will train people on. And we have a pilot program coming out with one of the agencies here in Ohio. And I'm super excited because if I could bring one person out of poverty as a social entrepreneur, that's where it gives my honor to my grandmother.
Where do you think you would be had you not played a sport, coming from where you came from in Cleveland? And why don't you start there first? Tell people where you came from.
I did come from Cleveland, Ohio, the inner city of Cleveland, Ohio, for sure. Now, my father did have a city job. But the thing about it is, now that I understand what the federal guidelines when it comes to poverty, we were a family of six, the husband, wife, and the four children. He didn't make enough, and my mother didn't work. So he did not make enough to qualify anything above poverty, but I didn't know that. I mean, my mother did the best she could with the money we had to make sure that we had breakfast, lunch, dinner. She did not feed us unhealthy foods in terms of fast food. That was like a luxury to go get something from McDonald's. It was total luxury for us. So when I think back, I didn't know that I was in poverty, but it was like, oh yeah, this is in poverty. Because for the simple fact that when it came down time for you to get school supplies and for you, you know, you go back to school with some new clothes, we got one outfit. So it was like, yeah, that was poverty, but we didn't know it.
So coming from where you came from, I'm leading you up because I know where you've been. Where do you think you'd be had you not had that sport, had you not had that opportunity, had you not had that scholarship?
I am a single mother, never been married. I ended up getting pregnant after I graduated from college. After college. So had I gone down the path, never gone to college, just think about that. If I was an educated woman and still ended up getting pregnant out of wedlock, I'm pretty sure I would be a single mother probably with multiple children had I not gone to college, if that makes sense. I'm pretty sure I would have. And I'm pretty sure I probably would be in the system because I would have known. I didn't know at the time that I was as resourceful. I kind of started raising myself at the age of 14 because I realized that it was like certain things my parents couldn't give me that I thought I wanted. So I didn't realize the power of me being resourceful, but I was, and I know that I wanted to do something different, but I don't think it would, I definitely wouldn't be where I am right now.
With that being said, why do you think it's important for others to identify their sport? We might even call it their opportunity.
For me, it was a literal sport, meaning basketball. To others, that sport can be a person who changed the trajectory of their life, a thing that changed the trajectory of their life, but not a moment. It has to be something that, for me, it was a literal sport. So it's not just this moment that changed it, but it became a lifestyle that changed my path. And in order to do that, how do you go back? It's shame on me if I don't use the God-given gifts and talents And that is to inspire people, to educate people, to give people and to share resources. It took me a long time to realize what my purpose was, but it had to, once I realized that that sport changed my life, and now I'm able to use sports through the sports project in a way to find other hidden gems out there, hidden Jesse Owenses and Nicole Antoinettes that are out there where they may not have had an opportunity. I use that for that. And then I use Elevate to find people who are just like me as well. Had I not gone to college, Elevate would have been the perfect program for me to be a part of. But if they didn't, if there's no bridge, if there's no access, what would happen? And I don't recall any type of program when I was growing up, like the program that I'm launching to bring people out of poverty, I would have had the opportunity. So had it not been for a college degree, I don't know where I would be. I don't think I would have made it. And then there's some other stuff that occurred that could have resulted in my death had I not played a sport. Because when you're dealing with living and growing up in the inner city, things can happen.
Well, with Elevate, let's talk about that for a second. You could use some help at the moment.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So you have a need for change agents. And what do those change agents look like in the form of real people? And what kind of needs do you have? What kind of time requirements would somebody be able to contribute to help you? And what are the skill sets?
Oh, good question. So Elevate is going to turn, it really is designed to be a social movement where we're pretty much want major corporations to sign a pledge and say, we're going to set aside one job, just one job, to bring somebody out of poverty. Every Fortune 500 company set aside one job. That's 500 people right there, right? And the list goes on and on. With that being said, I do need change agents. We'll need people who want to lead, to be local leaders, to be able to go to the various companies and say, hey, as a corporate social responsibility, we want you to connect with Elevate, become part of our community, set aside that job, come and speak, provide resources in terms of training opportunities, what's trending as far as the certifications, the change agents in terms of people who want to say that, you know, I just want to be a mentor. And they may just have 1 or 2 hours per month. Somebody may say that they want to coach. And they may have 1 to 2 hours a month to coach someone. It gives me an opportunity, once again, to honor my grandmother. So therefore, it's not going anywhere. I'm going to build this, and it's just going to evolve.
Currently, it is where you are, which is the Cleveland area. But that's not, just because you're not in Cleveland doesn't mean you can bail out on the opportunity to help, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. It could be across the country.
And in your big picture, it's not to keep it just in that area.
No. So this is just a pilot program, do like a soft pilot. And then once we knock out all the kinks at that point, I'm going to roll it out across Ohio and then the region and then, of course, the country.
People can find more information about Elevate at elevateplusimpact.com. Yes. That's again, elevateplusimpact.com. And if somebody wanted to seek some of the books that you have written, where would they find those?
They are listed on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
I have loved our conversation and look forward to having many more with you in the future, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Bubble Wrap. I'm your host, Kristen Getzey. If you would like to grow in your communications, look me up on the World Wide Web at KristenGetzey.com. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate it, and share it. Until we wrap next time, may your cup runneth over.